And I know that just as Tracy has wanted to give God glory for what he's done in her life, I know that's what Rebecca wants to do too. So we're going to pray for you, that you'd have freedom to point people to all the good things that he's done. So Father, thank you so much for Rebecca's story. Thank you for what you're doing in her life. Thank you that you haven't finished with her yet. And we pray, Lord, that as she shares now, you would really encourage her and encourage us through her story. Amen.
So yeah, I'm Rebecca. I have mine written out. Tracy was better than me. She can do it off the top of her head. So yeah, just thanks very much for letting me have this opportunity to speak. And apologies for my inability to speak sometimes. So yeah, I'm Rebecca and I live in Belfast. I go to Willowfield as well. I'm a mum and I work as a nurse in the city hospital. And Hilary just asked to share, for me to share a little bit about myself and my story and how I've come to be in this position. So I was brought up in a really loving Christian home with a whole Christian family. But as a child, I never made any commitment to God, really. And as I grew up and grew older, I grew away from church and from God. It was fine, but it just wasn't for me. I really grew into a life that is a lot what most teenagers do of living for the weekend and partying and going out. When I was 17, I met a guy, and it just seemed that we fell into a relationship, we dated, and we drifted along in this kind of haze of living for the weekend. I started doing my nurse training, so I graced with a little bit of finances from that. And we really just went along in this, doing what we were supposed to do. We got engaged, we got married, we got a house, and we had our first daughter, Ruby, was born in 2005. It was 9 years since I had first met this man, but yet a lot seemed to have changed, but yet nothing had changed. We still had a very kind of trundling along life with no real purpose in it. We also seemed to live this life of it'll get easier and it'll get better. Things would change and, you know, maybe we'll win the lottery, maybe we'll come into money, maybe something will happen. And that applied to most of our life, our relationship, our home and our finances and at times our health as well. Things didn't improve, but they did settle. And in 2009, we thought that it was time to start for a second baby. I got pregnant really quickly, which was great, and then sadly miscarried very quickly afterwards. In an effort to cope with that, I got pregnant quickly again. And in June 2010, our son Oliver was born. And it really seemed like this was it. Things would get better from now on. And 2 months after he was born, I found out that my husband was having an affair. And that night, which was probably the longest of my life, ended with him packing his bags and leaving. So I found myself at 31 years old with a 4.5-year-old daughter and a 2-month-old son on maternity leave and was nowhere really to go. The biggest worry after the initial upset of it all was a few weeks later when I looked properly at our finances and realised that things were much worse than I had initially thought. We had a total of £16,000 worth of debt, some of which I didn't know existed, but it was in my name. Nobody knew about that. It was my little secret. But after a short period of time, I realised I couldn't keep it a secret any longer and told my sister what had happened. She was a Christian, and in her church, Christians Against Poverty had come to speak, so she gave me their number and told me to ring them, which I didn't do because I didn't want the Christians involved. But somebody else can give me that help, not the Christians. A few weeks later, nobody else could give me that help. It was to the extent where Citizens Advice had said, sorry, we can't help you. So I rang Christians Against Poverty, and they came into my life. That was around the October time, and I remember saying, I'm very glad you're here. Yes, you can pray, but really I'm not very interested, so that's fine, but I'll be polite. The following year, Christians Against Poverty invited me and the children to go on a discovery break to Castle Wellan, and it was there that the little holes in my wall that God had been poking, the wall really came tumbling down. Someone prayed with me, and I said, listen, I really appreciate this, but I have so much going on in my life. I just can't be a Christian on top of it all. You know, there's like, I couldn't make these changes in my life. I was clinging on to, you know, the friendships that I had who were, nobody was a Christian. How could I be a Christian? And I can't change myself to make myself be a Christian. And the lady who was praying with me said, you don't change yourself. Jesus takes you as you are, and he makes the changes in you. And the song that came into my head was one that I remembered from being a child, Jesus Take Me As I Am. And I couldn't remember the rest of the words to it. So I don't know if any of you have ever been in Castlebell and Castle. There's very little internet service, but we managed to find enough to get us onto YouTube and type in Jesus Take Me As I Am. Clicked on the first link, and it wasn't the right song. The song that came up instead was from a Christian rap artist called Lecrae. Slightly different from the one that was in my head, but the lyrics actually touched me in such a way. It said, I really want to come to Christ, but I got to clean up my life first and get my sins together. I used to think that way too. I thought I had to change myself before I could come to Christ, but Christ changed me. At first I thought I had to clean up my life. Now I'm hearing I just need to cling to the light. My life is a mess. Will you take me as I am? And there was nothing that nobody could have said to me at that time that made any more sense to me. I still listen to the song now, and I'm not a big rap fan, but it still gets me every time I listen to it. And I joked that at the time, I prayed then that God would come into my life, that there was nothing I could do. He just had to take me as I was and understand that I couldn't face big changes in my life, but he had to do something. And I joked afterwards that God spoke to me through YouTube. But actually, it's as you might find out, he's used music a lot for me. I really love music, and I have a very bad memory, so trying to remember passages of scripture can be quite hard, but I really do remember worship songs, and that's how God has spoken to me quite a lot. So at that time, the journey began, and I remember someone saying to me, just baby steps, baby steps. And I did baby steps, and I stumbled often. I still do. But I joined Willowfield, and I did the Alpha course, and I did various other courses, and I grew closer to God. And at that time, he really showed his love for me with a real practical provision. I suppose at the time, I still wasn't sure about things, and it was a real proof, a real practical, physical proof that I needed at that time. He got us through financially. I tell a story about standing Tesco's one day, and as you do, you go in for something for dinner, and it comes to like £120 at the till. But it wasn't £120, but it was more than I intended to spend. And I remember standing, handing over my card and praying and saying, God, just get us through this week, because I know once I've prayed for this, we really don't have anything else left in the bank. And got home that day, opened my front door, and there was a check on my doormat that had come from EasyJet. A couple of years beforehand, I had flown with them and they'd broken the pram, and I'd put in a claim, forgotten all about it. And that day, the money was on my door. And I remember I was doing the Alpha course at the time, went in the next week, and I think he's real. So many ways, times when I was sick and really struggling as a single parent, and you know, you were just fed up, really sick with the flu, whatever else, and someone arrived with a meal for us from church. My endless car breakdowns, I still have the same car, but you know, phoning Cap in a blind panic and saying, the car's broken down, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the guy said, you know what, you have money in your savings, we can sort this for you. God just fixed every single problem that came along at that time, the real practical issues. What was much harder was what was going on inside me and the internal struggle. I think Tracy touched on this a little bit. The history of my self-worth and my who I was, my identity. And the time before I had become a Christian, I had really found that that ego boost through dating, through men. I had told myself I had only ever been with one man, and it was fine to make up for all those lost years now. I didn't have much self-worth, so it boosted my ego and it passed the time. And really, it was just this searching for something that I couldn't let go of. It meant that in church services, I cried my way through them, feeling that I wasn't deserving enough to be there. I became a Christian in May 2011, and the next 18 months I really struggled with this same issue. And God just continued to pour out love on me. He provided me with so much. He proved himself over and over and over again. And I knew that deep down, this wasn't the life he wanted for me. He knew what his best plan for me was. And eventually then, I had prayed so much about it, but I think this is something we all do, where we say, oh, I've taken it to the cross, I've given it to God. And then we turn away and we walk back with the same thing again on our, as a rucksack on our back. And I was at an event that in Willowfield there is a cross at the front of the church, a physical cross, and we went to the cross, and it was a real sense of leaving it there. I left it with him and said, God, this, I need you to work on this with me. Just thought to myself, this is it. There's no kind of half-hearted Christian. I'm yours now, and I am devoted to you. And if this is what you want for me, the single life, I'm fine with that. I'm throwing myself into my life with you. And a month later, a guy called Chris turned up. And he was the first person that I thought, there's something different about this guy. And I also thought, seriously, God, what's going on here? We've had a month. And Chris wasn't a Christian. And I really felt, I can't get into a relationship with this guy at all. I knew it wasn't something that God wanted me to go down that road with. But within a few weeks and out of prayer, Chris came along to church. Then he came to faith and his own journey began. But it was also the start of our journey together. I got baptized, we both got confirmed, and we really threw ourselves into soaking up all that God could offer us and all that we could learn about him. And it's really not easy to date whenever you both have children and previous relationships and baggage and a lot of stuff to work through. And God really spoke to each of us individually and as a couple, just how we dealt with things with ex-partners and with our children, and bringing us closer together into a relationship. As somebody put it to me, there's not two of you in the relationship, there's three people, because God's right in the middle of it too. And over the next few years, we just really did throw ourselves to him in so many different times whenever things seemed really tough, that we just really cried out to God together to say, you need to bring us through it. And in July 2015, my Christmas present from Chris was to go to New Wine in Sligo. It was the first time I'd been, and really that week was like a journey in itself. If you haven't been, I highly recommend it. If you have been, you probably know what I'm talking about. At the start of the week, we were so excited about going. It was us as a family, me and him and my two children, and we were just so expectant for what God could do with us. And I arrived, and from the start of the week, felt like something was wrong. It really felt like there was, I'm very much a hands in the air person, and at one point I couldn't raise my hand in the air, physically could not raise my hand in the air, couldn't open my mouth to sing, and it really felt like this was an attack from the devil at me at that time. It continued, and I went for prayer, and it continued for the first few days. And in the middle of the week, there was a talk about labels, as Tracy was talking about, and the labels, some of our labels are great. I'm a mum, I'm a nurse, but some of the labels that we have aren't so great. And I found myself in the middle of the week in a puddle of my own tears, to put it in a bad way. Someone came and prayed with me that day, and they spoke to me, and they said that that's not the label God has for you anymore. The label he has is that you're his beautiful daughter. And I went home from that session that morning and listened to YouTube, a song called Everbee, which the lyrics that really got me were, now you're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes, for you will have your bride, free of all her guilt and free of all her shame, known by her true name. That night in New Wine, the person who was speaking looked down into a massive audience and gave a word for me. And that word was that life wouldn't be a bed of roses, but that I had to remember that the God of angel armies is on my side. From then, the rest of the week was lived in some sort of elated state. But it was such a dramatic turning point. From I became a Christian, I didn't have this road to Damascus moment. My life didn't change around overnight. God very much knew me, and he knew who I was, and knew that the changes he needed to do in me had to be done gently at that time. And at that point in that week, it was like, do you know what? Enough of the gentle stuff now. Just get to it. And it was really amazing. In September then last year, Chris surprised me by proposing. And the last year of our lives has just been crazy. In April, so just over 6 months ago, I got married. And thanks to Nan for the sandwiches. We have had just a busy year, and Tracy was talking about having 26 houses. I've had three, one of them was my mum and dad's. So moving house for me was a huge thing, and actually a big emotional thing that God really had to help me through. It was leaving behind that past, and it was a real physical sense of this was the house where so much had happened, and it was gone, that we had a new beginning. A couple of the things just that I have to share. Psalm 139, I'm not a big memory Bible verse person, but my mum had written it on a Facebook picture when my son was born, and at the cat weekend I was on, each morning a verse came through underneath our door, and Psalm 139 was the first chapter that came through. And just little bits of it, it starts with, "You searched me, Lord, and you know me." And God really searched me, and he really proved how much he knows me and how he's made the changes in me. In verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." And at the times whenever I still have doubts about myself, I cling on to that really, because I know that he made me fearfully and wonderfully made. And the prayer that I really have now, because I feel that I've reached a point in my life where I'm quite comfortable, for want of a better word, is verse 23, and it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." One of the things that was said to me by someone, I've had quite a lot of people who don't know me but say random things that mean things, and one was to remember the promises God gave me. And there has been many promises, but another verse that was given to me by someone who didn't know me and didn't know my story was Joel 2, verse 25. And the lady said to me, "I'm really sorry, this is really random, but this is what I'm supposed to tell you." And the verse says, "I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten." She said, "I don't know what it means," but I just burst into tears. I said, "Well, I know what it means." People know I cry a lot too. So what I would say is that God has already repaid, and he's done more than repay me for the years that were lost. He's rewritten, and he's rewritten that story. I actually find it quite hard to talk about so many years of my life because I just don't really remember them anymore. It's not vivid memories for me. It's like talking about somebody else's life whenever I speak about those times. Three things that I wanted to leave with was, one, if you have money troubles, please contact CAP. Don't be ashamed. They are there and they're amazing. Two, you are good enough, and you are more than good enough, because he has made you, and he made you exactly how he wanted you to be. And three is to keep pressing forward, because the work is never done. And I feel like I've reached a point now where God's really starting to do all those little things, the refining and the polishing, and that it's exciting to see, okay, the big stuff's dealt with now, but what else is to come? And I know there's so much more that's to come. So life is a lot easier now than it used to be, but it's never easy. Between us, we have 5 children. We're still blending those children. We're still blending our families, and we're still working out an awful lot of stuff. And I still mess up often and fall often, and I still have to beg God to take me as I am, to cling to his light and for him to continue changing me. And I know I need more work, and I always will, because we're never a finished article. And so I still say, "Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you and make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you."